Good evening, beloved.
Good evening.
Let us start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us by name. Thank you for loving us, for choosing us as your own, and for giving us reason to have hope in you and confidence. Please bless the preaching of your word. Please bless the reading of your word. May you receive all of the glory, and may your people be encouraged. In the name of our Savior, amen. As the Bible describes the Christian life, we see two themes that are very important: serving the Lord and not being afraid. But did you know that there is a connection between these two realities? You see, God has called for us to serve him without fear. Now, it is true that there are things in each one of our lives that may cause us to be afraid. But when Jesus was born, he came to defeat these things, setting us free from our fears. And as a result, as Christians, we are able to walk with him unhindered by our fears. The whole Bible, indeed, the Christmas story itself, is full of many places which tell us not to be afraid, but rather to be joyful in our King. And for this very reason, God deserves our praise, and he takes pleasure in it. The passage that we are going to read today teaches us what it means to serve God without fear. So with this in mind, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 79, which can be found on page 856 of the Pew Bible. In this passage, we will see a song called the Benedictus, the song that was written by John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. At an important point in redemptive history, Zechariah praises God for making it possible to serve him without fear. Hear now the word of the Lord. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is God's word. Now, to fully appreciate what we're going to say here, before we delve into the song, it would do us well to consider how the biblical story has led up to this point. So at the very beginning of Luke chapter 1, we are introduced to Zechariah, who is one of the senior priests, and to his wife Elizabeth, who is also from Aaron's family line. And though both of them are righteous and they walk with God, they have been unable to have children and are now in old age. One day, when it was Zechariah's turn to burn incense in the temple, he was met by an angel from God who came to him with a message. Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son, and a special son, one that was promised in the Old Testament, the prophet who would prepare the way before the Messiah to introduce people to him. But Zechariah did not believe what God had told him, so God closed his mouth until after his son was born. Now Elizabeth did indeed become pregnant and give birth to a son, and she was overjoyed, and so were her relatives and neighbors. When the time came to name the boy, they thought to name him after his father, Zechariah, as was customary. But Elizabeth insisted that he must be named John, as God had specified. When they asked Zechariah what he wanted, they were shocked when he too said in writing, "His name is John." That is when he began to speak again, and immediately he started praising God. And this song that we are going to look at tonight is the song that he sang in praise to God. Now, as we read Zechariah's song, it is remarkable to see exactly what makes him so excited. Some might think that it's because he got his voice back after being mute for almost a year. Others may think that it's because he was miraculously given a son, and one who was promised in the Old Testament at that. And while these things surely did make him glad, he realized that there was something even greater to celebrate: the salvation that God was going to provide through the long-awaited Messiah, whom was going to be born soon and whom his son was going to proclaim. This is what Zechariah was celebrating and praising God for. To introduce our song, our text says in verse 67 that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. In other words, this is God-given, infallible scripture, which is given for our benefit. It bears a striking resemblance to the Psalms. And yet we see in Zechariah something very similar to the Old Testament prophets, in that they personally resonated with their messages and affirmed them as true. He proclaimed this sincerely and passionately. It comes from a man who loved the Lord, who knew what the Lord had promised, and who was overjoyed to see this promise beginning to be fulfilled. And it's written down for us as well, so that we too might rejoice at what God has done. Although we have not been chosen to write scripture like Zechariah, we can and should proclaim the truths that we read in scripture with joy. And this is what makes our Christmas carols such a treasure, because through them, we proclaim the very basis for our hope. Now let's take a close look at what Zechariah says in his song. If we look at the structure of the text, we see that it's divided into two long sentences. The first one is from verses 68 to 75, and then the second from 76 to 79. The first section of the song begins with praise. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel." Now, the reason why this song has traditionally been called the Benedictus is because this is the Latin word for blessed, which Zechariah says here. And Zechariah is praising God for a specific reason. "For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." When Jesus came, God himself was coming to purchase us by paying the penalty for our sins and making us his own. And when it says that God raised up a horn of salvation for us, it means that he saved us in a powerful way. He kept the promise that he made to David that one of his descendants would reign on his throne forever. That is why at Christmas we celebrate the birth of the newborn king. So Zechariah praises God for sending the promised Messiah to save us. In our text, we see why God provided salvation through Christ, in order that we might be set free from our fears, from our enemies, and then serve him without fear. Zechariah continues in verses 70 through 75. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." When God sent Christ to us, he fulfilled a promise that he had made to his people through the prophets. Now, when someone you trust makes you a promise, you trust that that promise is going to be fulfilled even before it happens. And when that promise is fulfilled, you are glad for two reasons. One, because you receive what you were promised, but two, because your trust in that person has been validated. We serve a God who always keeps his promises. We never have to doubt that he will do as he says, and he will never fail us. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that he did indeed keep his promise to us, and this strengthens our trust in him so that when we must wait for an answer to prayer or for a door to open, we remember that he is faithful. This particular promise is what Zechariah celebrates in that God would show us mercy and save us from our enemies. You see, the entrance of sin into our world means that there are enemies in this world, both physical and spiritual. Since a holy God cannot tolerate sin, because of our sin, we are naturally and by birth separate from God. And when people are separate from God, they are open to Satan's reign and accusations. But Christ came to forgive our sin, to set us free so that we might become children of God. When he saved us, he broke the grip that the enemy had upon us. Now it is true that as Christians, Satan may try to tempt us, to accuse us, or make us afraid in daily circumstances. And yet, because Christ has defeated him, we are free to resist temptation, to answer the accusations of the evil one with God's forgiveness, and to turn away from our fears to a loving and trustworthy God. All we have to do is look to him and believe what he has said. What God declares us to be in Christ is greater, stronger, and truer than anything that the enemy might bring against us. And whatever enemies God's people may face for his sake, he is greater than them all. They stand no chance against him. So it is with good reason that we sing, "God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy." And this is such an amazing theme because it also permeates the Christmas story, because we see that Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and even Zechariah himself were met by an angel of God who told them what God was going to do. And while in each instance they were afraid, they were told, "Do not be afraid." And furthermore, when Zechariah speaks about the promises God made to Abraham and to David, he celebrates the fact that they are fulfilled. We see these promises in Genesis 15 and 2 Samuel 7. And in both cases, God is saying that he will deliver his people from their enemies and give them a place of rest. Our salvation is intended that we would love the Lord and know his love for us, that we would receive good gifts from his hand and be grateful to him and serve him from the heart. In verse 75, we see the way in which we serve God without fear, the manner in which we are to do so, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. We live coram Deo, that is, before God's face, knowing that he takes pleasure in us because of Christ. On the one hand, we are holy and righteous because we are united to him, because he is holy and righteous and perfectly so. And at the same time, and because this is so, the Holy Spirit teaches us throughout our Christian lives how to walk in a way that's holy and righteous. This salvation is why Zechariah was so excited for the Messiah's arrival. Christ stands as the focal point of Christmas, both who he is and what he has done. And it's because of Christ that we are able to serve God without fear and sing with Charles Wesley, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." After praising God for this salvation, Zechariah moves into his second section, which serves as a charge to his newborn son. Now, children, I'd like to share something with you. Do you remember the name of Zechariah's son? He was John the Baptist. Now, God had given John a special job to proclaim Jesus and to introduce people to him. Now, when Zacharias sang his song, it's interesting that he spends more time talking about Jesus than he does about John. And even when he does talk about John, he's talking about the way in which John will point people to Jesus. And when John grew up, this is exactly what he did. He wasn't out to make people follow him, but rather to follow Jesus. In fact, there came a day when many people were leaving John and starting to follow Jesus instead. And that is when John said that Jesus must become greater and greater, but he himself must become lesser and lesser. This teaches us two very important lessons. First of all, John's parents had told him what God had for him to do, and he listened to them. And second, God himself had put it on John's heart to proclaim Jesus, and he listened to God. So when your parents teach you the ways of the Lord, they read God's word to you and show you how to walk with him, listen to them. When you do so, you are learning to listen to God. And just like John, you were made to give glory to God, and he is pleased when it makes you happy to do so. Now, let us read again what Zacharias sang in the second part of his song in verses 76 through 79. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As we said before, John would prepare the way for Jesus, and what Jesus would do builds upon what we have seen about serving God without fear. Jesus came to purchase salvation for us and to forgive our sins. And because he did so, we can know this salvation and this forgiveness in a personal, comprehensive, and life-directing way. When he did this, he revealed just how much God loves us. He didn't leave us in our sin, in our guilt, in our fears, or in our despair. He came to give us light and to show us the way of peace. He came to set us free. And it's interesting that Zechariah's words in this song, particularly right here when he talks to John, point to several of the themes that we see in Psalm 23. For example, we see in Psalm 23 the fact that the good shepherd leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness, and so Jesus leads us in the way of peace. Likewise, we have no need to fear the valley of the shadow of death because he is with us, and Jesus came that he might give us light to those who sit in the shadow of death. And finally, Jesus declares even to our enemies that we are spoken for. He protects us. Remember in the movie Pollyanna, when a whole town was held in fear because of one person's power and influence? And yet when the people received some love, sunshine, and joy from one little girl, they felt a freedom to do what they believed is right. And when they did, they were filled with joy and celebration. We see this in many places. For example, when they had one church service and everyone came out with fear, but another one where they came out happy and with joy. We also see that when, on the one hand, they were held in fear in the aunt's parlor at the town meeting, but then they were filled with celebration at the bazaar near the end. And indeed, when we meet each of the key characters, there's quite a difference then and then when we see them at the end, after Pollyanna had loved them. Likewise, Jesus came to give us joy and celebration, but he came to give us a kind that is perfect. It is comprehensive. His joy can take you through trials, and when those trials are gone, his joy is still there. It can't be taken away from us, and we will have it for all eternity. Zechariah knew that Jesus came to bring about this salvation, and he was glad. And likewise, all of us who have received Jesus by faith can rejoice at what he has done for us, together and in a personal way. As we celebrate this Christmas season, let us make it our application to celebrate the freedom that we have to serve God without fear. If you belong to him, then whatever might make you afraid has no power over you. When we face trials of various kinds, and we will, we know that we have a God who is sovereign over all. He has worked his power for you so that you would be able to have confidence and assurance. So as a result, when the enemy attacks, we respond with God's truth. And when we respond with God's truth, whether through scripture, whether through song, or whether through prayer, we acknowledge that the enemy has lost and that Christ has won. So whenever you are tempted to be afraid, in whatever trial you may face, consider what God would say in response and meditate upon that. Let that be your focus, because that is more true than whatever fear you may have. The circumstances might not change, but we can draw close to a God who loves us, who has defeated all our enemies, and who will see us through to the other side. He will provide you with his comfort and strength. So when we sing, O little town of Bethlehem, let us know that it is true that in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When we sing, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, let us know that the wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And finally, when we sing joy to the world, let us have joy because our Lord has indeed come. Similar to Zechariah, let us sing these Christmas carols with passion and heartfelt conviction, knowing that what we sing is true. It pleases God to enable us to serve him without fear, and we know that he is for us. This is the reason why he sent his son to us. Amen, and God bless you.